are now listening to the CRC Discover Life podcast, brought to you by Pastor Adboso. We trust that this message will change your life forever.
Then, of course, our live stream viewers, Facebook Live, we welcome you from Tshwane, South Africa, Pretoria, capital of South Africa, YouTube viewers. And then, of course, our television audience, we welcome you all the way from Tshwane, South Africa, right there in the United States of America, across Europe and throughout Africa. We know today is going to be a blessed day for you because God is for you and not against you. God bless you. Thank you for watching in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen and amen. We have a very special person here this morning. First time I met her, I really do like her. I love her. We sang a lot about Grace. Grace Mason, the head of protocol in the president's office. She is like Esther next to the king. Won't you stand? And we just want to give you a big welcome. Yes, we welcome you. You've got the king's ear and her two beautiful sisters. All of you are very welcome. You know, some people are just good looking. I'm talking about all of you. Tell the person, because some of you are looking at me and say, Paul, you're not talking about me, I'm talking to you about you as well. Tell the person next to you, you are good looking. Ach, do no man, I said, believe toch, come on now, come on. We're having fun in the presence of God this morning. We're going to have a great day. If you have your Bibles with you, open with me quickly to Ephesians chapter 6. We only have, drop the clock down to 25 minutes, please. 25 minutes, then we move into business this morning in Jesus' name. Ephesians chapter 6. And I read from the Message Bible, verse 10, the Bible says, and that about wraps it up. God is strong, and He wants you strong. So take everything the Master set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use, so that you will be able to stand up against everything the devil throws your way. This is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This is for keeps. A life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. I want to read that again. This is for keeps. Amen. You got married for keeps. Amen. You got saved for keeps. Yes. You started your business for keeps. Yes. We're in this race for keeps. There's no quitting. Yes. Bailout in any of us. He says it's a life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all of his angels. Be prepared. You're up, listen now. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over, but the shouting, hallelujah, you'll still be on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than just words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. In the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. In the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray long and pray hard. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up, so that no one falls behind or drops out. And don't forget to pray for me. Pray that I'll know what to say and have the courage to say it at the right time. Father, thank you tonight, this morning, for your presence, your anointing in this place, wherever people are. Thank you that your eternal purpose today will be accomplished in Jesus' name. I want to talk to you. My message title this morning is Pray Long and Pray Hard. Paul is very clear about certain things that I want to highlight this morning. Firstly, he says, the battle is real. Yeah. Yes. Amen. I know that doesn't sound like shouting or doesn't sound like good news, but you better know that when you were born again, you were born into a battle. He says the battle is real, and the battle is a spiritual battle, that there is an enemy who wants to push you or throw you out of your inheritance. Therefore, you have to, the second thing he says, understand the weapons you have received, and you have to know how to use them. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. I want you to know this morning, we do not fight for victory. We fight from the place of victory. In Christ this morning, you have the victory. In Christ this morning, you are the head and not the tail. In Christ this morning, you are a winner. Somebody say amen in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. But the reality is, although we are in Christ and God has given us an inheritance in Christ, we have to understand how to keep winning. Yes. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 verse 4, whatever is born of God overcomes this world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So understand that building a business, building our country, building a church, building a marriage requires a lot of faith. And while you are committed to build, you have to understand there is an enemy. You don't have to fear him, but you have to understand that he's very active and that he wants to stop what God's will is for your life. He wants to throw you out of your inheritance. But I want you to know he cannot if you do what God called you to do. Come on, you are a winner this morning. You are seated with Christ in heavenly places. You are more than a conqueror. You are an overcomer because of the blood of Jesus. Oh, come on, somebody that believes God is on your side, jump to your feet and give the Lord a shout of praise. Hallelujah. So the third thing Paul says is that prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Bring me down, please. Prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. So when you're going through a hard time, you have to pray long and hard. When you're facing a bitter season in your life, you have to pray. Very often people come to us and they tell us, oh, Pastor, I'm going through a tough time. Won't you pray for me? Yes, I'll pray for you, but you also have to pray. You also have to understand the power of prayer. But although Satan has power, you have authority. And authority is greater than power. Think about an 18-wheeler that comes down the highway. That 18-wheeler has all the power to ride over you. But out jumps a traffic cop. A little 50-kilogram young lady born in South Africa, not with her high heels on in that moment, but dressed in a uniform, and she stops there, she puts her hip out, she puts her hand out, and that 18-wheeler truck comes to a grinding halt. Why? Because she has authority. So we have to know what authority we have. We have to understand how to push back when Satan comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. We have to understand how to use the weapons that God gave us. And Paul says one of those weapons that is essential in this ongoing warfare is prayer. You have to pray long and you have to pray hard. Doesn't mean loud. It means you have to pray with all your heart. You know, I grew up treating prayer like, by the way, before I got into bed, I would say a little prayer. Or before we ate our food, we would pray, Segen Vader, Segen Eten, laat ons nimmer u vergeten. Whatever that means, okay? You all did the same thing. Bless the food or whatever you did. That was your prayer life. Now Paul says, you are born again and you are in this battle. You are in this constant, ongoing confrontation that wants to push you out of what God has for you, that wants to disrupt in your marriage, your finances, your health, your business, our nation. And God says, I've given you a weapon. I've given you many weapons, but one of the most important weapons I gave you is prayer. If you are going to go through this battle, if you are going to survive and do more than survive, if you are going to thrive, you have to understand how to use the weapons that God has given you. One of those weapons are prayer. You have to know how to pray, so that the enemy does not throw you out of your inheritance. In James chapter 5 verse 13, the Bible says, is anyone among you suffering? Then he must pray. Is anyone joyful? He should sing praises to God. People say, why are people so happy that come to CRC? Because we are saved. Come on, we are joyful. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Oh, come on, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands in Jesus' name. Says, is anyone among you sick? He must call for the elders, the spiritual leaders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another, your false steps, your offenses, and pray for one another that you may be healed and restored. The heartfelt and persistent. The heartfelt and persistent prayer of a righteous man, a believer, can accomplish much. When put into action and made effective by God, it is dynamic and can have tremendous power. Your family, prayer should never be the last resort. Prayer should be the first resort. When all hell shows up, you have to run to God and not from God. You have to run into God's presence and knock on heaven's door and begin to pray. I know sometimes you are facing battles or you're sitting in a place and you wonder where God is. I want to tell you that God is for you and God is with you. He is the one orchestrating your deliverance. But you cannot become cynical. You cannot stop praying. You cannot quit on praying. The Bible says, after having done all to stand, stand therefore. Pray with all perseverance. Jesus taught us to knock and to keep on knocking, to ask and to keep on asking, to seek and to keep on seeking. You say, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying you have to pray until tomorrow. You have to pray again. The day after, you have to pray again. It's almost like forgiving somebody when Jesus said, forgive 70 times seven. Well, I don't know about you, but I've been mad with some people that have hurt me. And I have forgiven them, and then when I saw them again, the last thing I felt was like hugging you. Maybe a Liverpool kiss. Amen. But I didn't feel like the Bible says lay hands on them this way, or lay hands on them that way. And I have to forgive again. 70 times seven. I've already forgiven him 70 times, and I still have a problem. I still have to forgive. That's why Jesus said, forgive until you are free. So you have to pray until, you say until what? Until the breakthrough, until the deliverance. You have to pray. You have to not grow weary. You have to pray long and hard. If you're praying for your husband, you have to come before God every day and say, Lord, I'm bringing Tabu to you today, and I ask you to save him in Jesus' name. That night Tabu gets drunk, you're not going to stand with a roller pull and knock him over his head. You're going to go before God and say, Father, I've asked you to save Tabu. I'm not moved by what I see. I pray, Father, that you will send somebody, send a messenger, send deliverance in Jesus' name. 3 months later, Tabu is still not the man he should be. You still pray. You pray long and hard. You knock on heaven's door. You knock until the rain comes. You knock like Elijah. If there's not a cloud after one prayer, you pray again. And if there's not a cloud, you pray again. And if there's not a job, you pray again. And if the depression is still there, you pray again. And if the violence is still there, you pray. Pray again. And if you don't have an income, you pray again, somebody. Shout hallelujah in the name of Jesus. Give somebody a high five. Come on, say you've got to pray. Whatever battle you face in life, you have to pray. Whatever valley you encounter, you have to pray. Whatever opposition, you have to pray. Because prayerlessness allows darkness to reign. More than ever in South Africa, we have to pray. Pray for peace. Pray for prosperity. Pray for blessing, pray for healing, pray for reconciliation. I don't care what the haters say, we're going to knock on heaven's door and say, Father, bless our country. Father, heal our country. Unite our country in the name of Jesus. Come on. I don't care what people say on Twitter. I don't care what people say in crusades. We are going to see God heal South Africa. We are going to see God bless South Africa. We are going to see a united, blood-washed South Africa in the name of Jesus. Somebody shout amen in Jesus' name. So prayer changes things. It is prayer that shapes history. I always tell people, this is the younger generation, this country would have been in revolution had it not been for those who prayed. Everybody was praying. You need to go talk to your grandmothers, how they prayed. You need to go talk to the founders. When the ANC was formed in 1912, those people birthed this movement in prayer. You take prayer mint out of something, you will have decay coming to something. You take God out of something, you will have decay coming to something. I want to tell you, that movement to liberate a nation was birthed in an Anglican church. It was a move. That's why Nkosi Sikelel says, oh God, come. Holy Spirit, come. We are not going to see a blessed South Africa if we think we can take God out of our country. More than ever, we need Christians to stand up and say, come Lord Jesus. We need an outpouring of God in Parliament. An outpouring of God in the union buildings. An outpouring of God in the highways, in the byways. Somebody shout, God bless South Africa in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Many people left South Africa in those years, prophets of doom. People prophesied the blood will flow as high as horses, as the bridle of a horse. And God intervened. Because people understood the power of prayer. People were praying, not complaining. Prayer moves the hand of God because the battle is real. And every origin of any battle or any battle has its origin in the spirit. And I want to tell you, If Satan attacks you supernaturally, God is going to act on your behalf supernaturally. If the devil attacks you supernaturally, God will step in and do a miracle for you. Do you believe it this morning? Say amen in Jesus' name. So through prayer, we have the authority to stop the devil's work. You know, don't go around and say, I don't know why this is happening. You know, I'm not feeling good and, you know, my business and my this. And No. Go use the power that God's given you. Go pray. Pray about everything. Pray hard. Pray long. Don't be double-minded. Make up your mind what you want from God and position yourself. Hebrews 4:16, before the throne of grace, that you might obtain mercy and help. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let not that man suppose he will receive anything. So you're not going to ask God to bless your business in South Africa and buy and start negotiating to move to New Zealand. Then you better buy your plane tickets. Because you're not committed. Oh, come on. Paul says you have to be strong. Paul says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You can't be a spineless Christian. You can't be a rollover Christian. You have to dig your heels in, be before the throne of God, and make up your mind that this is the will of God, and you have to be strong, and then you have to knock on heaven's door that the blessing of God will come down in the name of Jesus. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Be strong. I know sometimes you want to feel like weak, but you better be strong. When life knocks you down, you better get back up again. You better stand back up again. When you fail, you better get up again. Try again. Try harder. Come on, life doesn't reward quitters. You have to keep on keeping on strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So prayer changes things. Amen. Look at you. Look at me. Somebody prayed for me. Look at this church. Look at our country. We should not forget, in the day of prosperity, in the day of momentum, the importance of prayer. Because Satan will very patiently try and derail that which God has planned. Like Jehoshaphat, they lived in their inheritance, and yet three armies came to attack them. So great was the multitude, they were unprepared. They never even believed that it was possible. And suddenly, a sweet day turns into a bitter day. They had no power against the multitude. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. They ran and they did the right thing. They stood in the presence of God and they said, God, see the enemy coming against us. We have no power. The odds are overwhelming. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you, God. You're not going to allow the devil to triumph. They knocked on heaven's door. And I want to tell you, God heard them. And God sent deliverance. And God said, the battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. Oh, I want you to know this day that God will deliver you. God will orchestrate your deliverance. But you have to keep on knocking, as Jehoshaphat did. You have to keep praying long and hard about everything, as Moses did when the Amalekites came to attack Israel. And Moses said to Joshua, you go into the valley and you fight, but I will go into the mountain of God and I will stand before God and pray. The Bible says while Moses' hands were raised, Joshua defeated Amalek. But his hands became heavy. He became weary. He became tired. And the enemy gained the advantage on the battleground. You see, my dear friends, if we become weary and tired, we hand the advantage over to the enemy. That's why the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, seeketh whom he may devour. You have to remain vigilant on the battleground, knowing that you have the greater power. And that power is prayer in the name of Jesus. You pray and you keep on praying as Moses did. Then two people came, Aaron and Hur, positioned themselves next to Moses and they raised his hands up. And when his hands went back up, come on, his prayers went back up again. Deliverance came down. Oh, hallelujah. When your prayer goes up, deliverance will come down on the battleground. In your fiery furnace, in your hellhole where you are today, I want you to know that heaven will come down if you shout unto God and you believe in Jesus' name. Jehovah Nissi will show up. Deliverance will show. Maybe not in your time, but in God's timing. Daniel was praying to God, and we know the story. 21 days later, an angel came and he said, Daniel, from the first day that you set your heart to seek God, God heard you and He sent me and I've come for your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, an archangel, Michael, came and he defeated him. Maybe you've been praying and you say, but Pastor, nothing is changing. Not that you can see, but things are shifting in the spirit realm. Things are getting better in the spirit realm. Your breakthrough is on the way. Come on, he's around the corner. The angels of God are working on your behalf. You just don't know it. So don't quit on your praise. Don't quit on your prayer. Keep believing God, because your breakthrough is closer than you think. Oh, somebody, if you believe it this morning, give the Lord a shout of praise in Jesus' name. The early church, when their sweet season was turned into a bitter season. After revival, Pentecost, all hell breaks loose. Stephen is stoned. And then Herod the king joins the fanatic, Paul, Saul, who later became the apostle. And he begins to murder first James, John's brother, the sons of thunder, of Jesus' two first powerful disciples. But then the Bible says Herod saw that it pleased the Jews, so he intensified his attack. Sometimes things get worse before they get better. And they grab Peter to silence the move of God in the earth. But how many of you know that if God has planned it, no man can stop it? If God has intended it, it cannot be reversed. Come on. If God has blessed it, it cannot be cursed. Come on. If God is for you, who can be against you? You just keep yourself in the presence of God. The Bible says in Acts chapter 12, constant prayer was offered for Peter by the church. I love it. Constant prayer. Peter was thrown in prison and was to be executed the next day. Think about it. Because it's the same God we serve today. It was a hopeless situation. He was bound in the inner prison between two guards, tied to them. But the church was praying, knocking on heaven's door. And in the evening, very often in the midnight hours, when deliverance comes, because the midnight hour is when the devil attacks as well. And the church is praying, and an angel comes and touches Peter and says, "Rise, Peter." Peter thinks he's seeing a vision. You can read it. He thinks, "I'm in a trance." And the angel takes him past all the guards, opens the prison doors, takes him to the house where the people are praying, and he knocks on the door, and a little damsel, a little young girl comes, and she opens the door, and she gets a shock. She runs back inside. She says, "Oh, it's Peter's ghost," thinking he must be dead. And one of the older believers came out and said, "Peter, we've been praying for you. God delivered him. I don't know what you are facing, but I want to tell you, when the devil attacks you or all hell attacks you, God is not about to forsake you. He's not about to abandon you. He's not going to leave you. He is there every step of the way. He still is a God of miracles. He can open a door no one can shut. He can make a way where there is no way." Keep on praying. Paul and Silas in the midnight hour, bound, shackled. The Bible says, after they were beaten, they began to sing hymns and they prayed, and the prisoners heard them. Why is it that we are ashamed to pray? Why is it that the same God who delivered us, suddenly we want to put him in a corner? I ask people in positions of authority all the time, I say, "Who did this?" "Oh, it's God." I say, "And? If God brought us here, then surely he's the one that will take us to the future. Are we now going to put him on the back burner?" I mean, we just read today that we are up against far more than we can handle by ourselves. That's a wise man who understands that. I don't care who you are. That no matter how great you are, you're not going to get where you're meant to go by yourself. No matter how many advisors you have, how many counselors you have, you're not going to get where you're going to go by yourself. Because it's a spiritual battle. Even sometimes people very close to you, Satan will try and use to derail them. But when you pray, something changes. When you pray, you get into partnership with the Holy Ghost. You begin to hear the Holy Ghost. You begin to discern people's hearts. Come on. You say, "Pastor, I don't know what to pray." Just begin to pray. Let's say for our country, just to begin to say, "Father, bless South Africa." Oh, if you pray for South Africa, you're not going to speak words of hate and words of death and words of division. If you believe in the future of South Africa, you're not going to talk about them and us. You're going to talk about us, this beautiful rainbow nation, one nation under God. Come on, one nation, one blood. Come on, people, you're in CRC. We recognize one color, and that is the color of the blood of Jesus and absolutely nothing else. Hallelujah. When you pray, you change. When you pray, hopelessness leaves your heart. Prayer is a weapon, and yet we treat it like it's unimportant. We want to go get a gun, but God says, "I've given you Psalm 91. Oh, come on. We want to take a bribe, but God says, I've given you Psalm 23, verse 1. God says, I've given you Philippians 4, verse 19. My God shall supply all my need according to his view. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. When you walk in prayer, you don't have to lose yourself. You don't have to find a sugar daddy that will put you through university. You don't have to be hopeless. You don't have to, although there's no hope, you have hope in your heart. Because 2,000 years ago, Jesus obtained the victory for you. And when things go tough, you know where to go. You run to God. Come on. You don't run to a cave of refuge. You don't run to a place of depression. You don't run to another relationship. You don't run to alcohol. You don't run to something else. You know where to run. You know to run to God because you know the Bible says his eyes are upon the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers. You've seen that God answers your prayers and this will be the same. Come on. You slew the lion, you slew the bear, and this Goliath will come down. It's the same God. It is the same faith. The impossibility of yesterday, you know what God has walked you through. This impossibility will be exactly the same because he's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. Somebody shout hallelujah, amen, in Jesus' name. So I don't know what you are facing. I don't know where you are. Maybe your life is good. Maybe you're sitting on an island in your reality today, like sipping Coca Rico, whatever that is, and sitting on an umbrella. You don't know about the tsunami that's heading your way. You still think it's okay. And you don't have to fear the tsunami. You don't have to fear the storms of life. They are just part of life. Nothing weird. Yeah. And Paul very clearly says, this is not just a little afternoon picnic that you're going to walk away from. It's not just one little practice and you're going to forget about it. No. This is for keeps. This is for real. Yeah. So you have to pray as if your life depends on it, because sometimes your very life depends on your prayer. Amen. Sometimes the life of other people. I know the life of people that are not saved. That's why as a church we are so committed to travail and groan for people that we don't even know to get saved. If that stops, revival, prayer delays, revival decays. We can't think we're going to get where God called us to go through mental ascent. Sure, you should be educated. Sure, you should be smart and sharp as Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach were. They were 10 times smarter than anything else that Nebuchadnezzar had. And the Bible says the righteous is more excellent than his neighbor. But you're not going to outwit Satan, who's been around much longer than you, through your smarts and through your sharps. You have to know how to use the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, plead and apply the blood of Jesus. Then you need to know how to pray. The Bible is very clear. 1 Timothy chapter 2, the Bible says, I would first of all that we pray for everyone. I would that men pray everywhere. The Bible says in Colossians 4 verse 2, pray without ceasing. Luke chapter 18 verse 1, I would that men pray and never grow weary. Ephesians 6 verse 18, praying all manner of prayer with all supplication and perseverance. Pray long and pray hard. Pray knowing that God hears your prayer. Amen. God has only planned great things for you. As God planned for his church to walk in glory. But then an attack came. So when the bitter comes, we have to know how to pray. Lift up that shield of faith. Keep your praise strong. Keep your prayer strong. Keep on knocking on heaven's door. Keep on reminding God of his promises. Father, you said, just like Elijah, it's not raining, Father. I'm not going to become disillusioned. I'm not going to be discouraged. I've applied for 10 jobs. Father, you said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or received begging bread. Lord, you are my provider. Father, I'm knocking on heaven's door. I don't know how you are going to do this, but I ask you to do this in the name of Jesus. Do you know that our prayer can influence economic policies? Our prayer can cause people to invest into South Africa. God will move heaven and earth to answer the prayer of a true believer. Come on, God will send a bird, God will send a crow, God will send a widow, God will send somebody to answer your prayer if you will keep on knocking on heaven's door in Jesus' name. If you receive the word this morning, give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, CLC, you can do better than that. Give him a praise. Hallelujah. Come on, when praise goes up, heaven comes down. When prayer goes up, deliverance comes down. Let your praises go up. Let your praises go up. Some of you are standing before the walls of Jericho. Let those walls of Jericho come down this morning in the name of Jesus. Come on, let your praise go up in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, lift your voice and praise Him. Lift your voice and praise Him. Come on there in Bloemfontein, lift your voice and praise Him. Praise Him louder than your storm. Praise Him louder than your circumstances. Come on, the voice of rejoicing is the voice of victory on the battleground. Believe God for a shift in your situation today. Believe God for a shift in the spirit today in Jesus' name. Come on, just lift your hands to Him this morning. The Bible says, roll your burdens upon Him and He will sustain you. For the Lord is good and His mercy endureth forever. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Having done all to stand, stand. God never meant for the cares of this world to overwhelm you. He's your Father. He loves you. He's your Abba Father, very personal. Bible says He's acquainted with all our ways, not to judge us, but to help us, to preserve us, to protect us. Your Father is closer than you think, and He loves you more than you'll ever understand. He weeps with those who weep. Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2, He's a high priest who understands. He's moved with the pain that moves us. Sometimes people go through things and they say, Pastor, does God even care? He cares so much that long before you were born, He sent His Son to die for you. God understands more than you'll ever know. Sometimes we go through things and we just don't draw to Him. I want to encourage you today. That's what Paul says. Although the battle is real, God has given you the victory. Pray long, pray hard. Give it all to Jesus. Lay it all down at the foot of the cross. Every worry, every care, every concern, every fear, every disappointment. Don't allow disillusionment to get the better of you. He promised to turn your beauty, your ashes into beauty. I pray for a new day for you. I pray for new strength. I pray for wisdom. I pray for guidance. I pray for encouragement. In the name of Jesus. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. Hallelujah.
If this powerful message has touched your life and you'd like to give your life to Jesus, pray the following prayer with Pastor Utt.
Pray this right now. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I give myself back to you.
I give myself back to you.
Today,
today
I turn to you. And
I ask you
to have mercy on me. Please
save my soul.
Wash me in your blood. Forgive
my sin.
I open the door of my heart.
And I invite
you to be my Lord, to be my Savior. I believe with all my heart that you died for me, that you rose from the grave, and that you are alive. Today, I confess you publicly as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for hearing my prayer, for accepting me, and for loving me just as I am. I'm home. I'm your child. Now and forever. In Jesus' name. Use me now, Father, to lead many to you. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information on CRC, visit www.crc.org.za.